Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. And again, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I tell you, it has been a fight week. It's always something when you have a certain conviction about yourself that God wants to use us in a mighty way, and He wants us to stay faithful to the call. And when we stay faithful to the call, I tell you, the enemy comes like a roaring lion trying to kill the conviction or destroy or stop the conviction, trying to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. He tries to kill it, steal it, and destroy it. So those who are listening tonight will not be blessed by the word of God that dupes Satan's work, that conquers Satan's will to destroy what God has already brought to victory. And so the lesson, or actually our topic tonight, is going to be a lesson for us to be aware of and to stand against what we know is wrong. And our topic tonight, for those who are listening, our topic tonight is who's bullying who. And we must talk about this. We must bring this to light. This matter of bullying is a serious one in our schools, our neighborhoods, our jobs, and even in our homes. Yes, I said it. In our homes. Bullying is a common practice of the adversary, who we know as Satan himself. And this is why we have to stand against this type of evil practice. And we have to stop it within our community. And of course, we know the answer to this shadow of darkness. And the answer is Jesus Christ and the body of Christ through prayer and awareness. So let's stand as a mighty army against this issue that is running rampant in our schools, with our children, and in our neighborhoods even. So I have brought on a guest tonight, and I tell you, this young lady is a woman who is on fire for this particular issue. And this is just one among many that resonates in her heart that makes her fight against it. And her name is Nikitria Mason, but I'm going to address her as Nikki. And it's simple for me. And she is on co-hosting with me tonight concerning this problem. It is a serious problem. And so we are going to have a four-part series with this particular topic. I mean, it just needs to be addressed. And we as believers in Christ Jesus need to stand and stand together against this, because we cannot be divided. And we know what happens there. And so when we stand together, we become this mighty army, ready, willing, and able to address it. And by God's grace and His mercy and His power, it will be brought down. So I just want to bring my co-host to the forefront right now of this program, and I want to give her this opportunity to introduce herself and to address us tonight as we listen and as her and I dialogue back and forth concerning the who's bullying who and why it is such a conviction in her heart. And hopefully, as the programs go on, we're going to have other guests and a testimony of a woman whose daughter who was bullied, and maybe you who are listening may have been a bullier, or you may have been subjected to bullying. And we're just going to look at this as an issue that needs to stop. So, Nikki Mason, I thank you for being on this program tonight. I tell you, it's a blessing for you to be here with me looking at this problem. So if you could just address those that are listening on the internet tonight and listening live online, if you could just tell them a little bit about yourself, Nikki, and just let us know how God convicted you concerning this bullying. And I know you and I have worked together on some projects concerning this problem. So if you could just let those who are listening know who you are and how you came to know the Lord, at least about how old you were, or maybe at what age and stage you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then how the conviction came upon you concerning this topic, bullying.
Well, good evening, Carnita, and I thank you for having me on the show. I am just overjoyed to be here tonight to share this journey with you, because it is truly a journey. It is something that the Lord has placed upon my heart. It's actually a calling that he has given me. I want to say I thank God tonight for this opportunity, and first and foremost, because he's the head of my life, I want to also acknowledge my pastor, Pastor Michael Crow, and Sister Sharon Crow, which are my mother and father in the Lord from Baltimore Missionary Baptist Church. I am Sister Nikitria, a.k.a. Nikki Mason, as everybody knows. I am 40 years old. I am a single mother. The first time I got saved, my grandmother always tells a story. I've been knowing God all my life, because I grew up in the church, I was raised in the church, and I can remember far back as a little bitty girl understanding God in church, you know, when grown-ups couldn't understand. I was 5 and 6 years old, rocking to the choir, and when the preacher would be preaching, I could understand so clearly everything he was preaching as if he was, you know, as if I had been in church all my life at that time. My grandmother tells a story that when I was real young, she said, I used to go around shouting, hollering, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And at one point, they thought I was playing, she said, but she looked over and I was actually would be shouting. So God has been in my life since the beginning. And I would always hear my grandmother's mother tell me that I have a calling and I was different. And, you know, as a child, when you hear you're different, you wonder, okay, am I a little weird? But she meant it in a good way. And she would always tell me, baby, you're different. God has something special for you. And as I get older, I understand it more now. You know, even as a teenager, you know, I was set apart from my friends. I would pray, you know, and do things. And before we went places or if we went out somewhere, I was always the one to pray. I was always the one to, you know, talk about the Lord. So I'm going to be very honest. I don't remember a time never having God in my life or not loving God. I've always loved God, and I've always enjoyed the church, and I've always been prophesied to from a little bitty girl, even till now, that God, you know, would use me. I never thought that he would use me in this way, but with the children, it is a special. It's very special to me. It is very dear to my heart, and I can't say that enough. I am on a mission. I am on a journey. I am running for God about his children. And, I mean, I can't stress that enough to anybody. I don't understand what people won't get on board about it, because these are God's children that he has trusted us with enough to take care of. So we have to do something about it. I walked a personal bully experience with my daughter. You know, my little girl had been in the same elementary school from pre-K to fifth grade. You know, you have a little child do something here or there, and you go on. But sixth grade, you know, was a total shock to me. I mean, it's like if I had dropped my child in the middle of Iraq and said, okay, now fend for yourself. it's like I dropped her in the middle of a war zone, and I had no experience. I had no idea that school had changed that much. I had no idea that kids were doing the things that they're doing. And my daughter's sixth grade year was very, very rough. I mean, I walked the floor many a night talking to God, praying to God. I was at the school, looked like, every day. You know, I was up at the school at least three or four times a week. There were incidents. I would drop her off at school in the morning, and I was so nerved up. I couldn't even come home or sleep because at the time I was laid off a job. I couldn't come home. I couldn't sleep. I would just sit. And I knew that the phone was going to ring because she had a cell phone or something was going to happen. And, you know, I have a special relationship with God. Sometimes I would be asleep before she would get up and go to school in the morning hours, and the Lord would wake me up. You know, I would have a vision. You know, the Lord would show me things, and I would get up and I would pray, and I would pray over her before she would leave. I would have her pray. I didn't understand it at the time. I truly didn't. It was just Lord, why is this happening to me? You know, why is this happening to my child? What is going on? And it went from her first school that she went to. She was there, I don't even think, 3 weeks. And six little girls walked up on her and surrounded her. And it started with that. And because she was a new child going to this school, she didn't go with the kids from elementary. She was at a totally different school. And she was just, they walked up on her. They didn't like her. They began to pick with her. Well, she went on. And after we reported the incidents of the six little girls walking up on her, what happened is, what people don't realize now is, when you go to the school, that's why it's so important for parents, all parents, black, Hispanic, white, Asian, Middle Eastern parents, everybody needs to be at the school, involved in their children's activities, involved in their children's education, going to meet the teacher night. It's very, very important because it plays a big part. I mean, what the kids would do is, when this child would get in trouble for a bullying incident, then guess what? I'm in trouble now. I'm not going to mess with you anymore, but my friend is going to mess with you. And it's so on and so on and so on. So when the principal addressed that child, the next child is my friend. Then they're going to do it. So it continued with a pattern with Trinicia, because what ended up happening after we reported the little girls to the principal, he spoke to them. So then the friends that they rode the bus with, the people they stayed in the neighborhood with that rode the bus, 7th and 8th graders, began to mess with her because those little girls had already been in trouble. So now I'm going to continue it. And one of the little girls at this time, a little boy, called himself her boyfriend. He didn't know my daughter, but since one of the little girls that he liked was one of the little girls that we reported, he went and told everybody in the cafeteria, "I'm going to fight her. I'm going to fight her." My baby, not knowing what was going on, she's getting surrounded by all of these kids. And this little boy walks up to her. He calls her a name. She doesn't say anything. She say her instinct was, she knew she was going to have a fight. So she say, "Mom, I didn't say anything, but I got ready." He hauled off and just slapped my daughter. My daughter wears glasses, slapped her glasses off. Just slapped my 11-year-old baby.
Wow.
But what he was not looking for, when he slapped my child, she went back at him. And when she went back and she hit him, he wasn't looking for her to hit him the way that she hit him, by her being a little 90-pound little girl. But what he didn't know that, and I thank God that I did, during her elementary years, my daughter took Taekwondo for 3 years. And she was very good in it. But Trinicia was so quiet, and I didn't put it in there for her to defend herself. I put her in it to build her self-esteem and give her something to do with her energy. But he wasn't looking. So, yes, she defended herself very well. I'm not glorifying that. But I think about the fact that Not only did he slap her, he tried to kick her in her stomach. And when he went to kick her in her stomach, you know, in karate, they teach you, she caught his, her reaction, you know, her reflection caught his foot. So she defended herself in that way. So what me and her dad did, we moved her from that school. Because what ended up happening is after my daughter, who had never been in trouble, had never had a problem, she got suspended. And then after she got suspended, she ended up having to do, I think, like a day or two in what they call ISS. Okay. Yes. So he gets suspended. He gets more days in Tunisia. However, the bullying still continues. And we need to really look at what bullying is, because I don't think people realize what bullying actually is. Okay, I moved her back over by my home. She started going to school there, and the bullying just continued. They had it where it was sectioned off. The sixth graders couldn't have lunch or even ride the bus with the seventh and eighth graders because the bullying situation was so bad at that school in Alice. In Alice District. And it just went on from there. It went from her being over there, then the bullying started with the kids, and by my daughter being an athlete, they picked what about a, you know, her shape. They called her muscle man. It went on from everything. I even had, we had to report two little girls. They threw a dirty sanitary napkin at her. School didn't do anything. You know, these are just kids being kids. We went from, she got into a fight over there because she walked up behind the line and went to go into the class, and this little boy, he just hauled off and hit her, called her dumb and then hit her, and she had a fight there. And in that district, when you have a fight, that's your first offense. You automatically, she got 15 days of what they call over there like ISS. And 3 days of suspension for defending herself again. And so when she went back, me and her dad instilled in her, because that's what we was told by the principal. Don't get into no trouble. They bother you, baby. Go tell the principal. Go tell the principal. You know, you get in any incidents. But the bullying continued, and my daughter was targeted because guess what? The school told us, okay, now these kids know who has been in ISS. They know the kids who's been suspended for fighting or if you've been to CEP. So what they do is the principal telling me herself, the assistant principal, these kids know the policy better than we do. So they're going to pick with her. They're going to mess with her because they want to get her in trouble, because if she has one more offense, she goes to the alternative school. Now, you are an administrator. You're telling me that this is what she's getting ready to walk into. So imagine me as a parent. It was horrifying, and she got bullied every single day. She got picked at. She got talked about, and it did a lot to her self-esteem. And the final incident in Alice District was when she was sitting on some bleachers waiting for them to call them all to first period because she rode the bus to school that morning. She's sitting there waiting, and they put all the kids inside of the gym. One of the little girls, because she reported the two little girls, the little girl stayed behind me, never had a problem with her. But like I told you, if you get in trouble, then it's your friend. Then my friend is going to mess with you. So what happened, the two little girls that she reported that threw the dirty sanitary napkin at her, they couldn't mess with her anymore. So the girl behind that stayed behind, the little girl that stayed behind me, was a friend of theirs. She walked, three teachers witnessed. She walked up to my baby and just punched my baby in the eye. My baby didn't hit her back. She didn't hit her back. Okay, we think everything is fine. They're telling me, well, it's her second incident. So she's going to have to go to the alternative school. And the Holy Ghost say, withdraw. And I withdrew her. And I moved. I withdrew her and moved. And I put her, and thank God it happened over the Christmas holidays and stuff, because I was able to move and didn't have to keep her out of school. So I moved, and I put her in another school district. The kids didn't bully there, but the teachers started. So I went through there, and I couldn't understand it, and I couldn't understand it. And I'm going to tell you, I talked to God for a long time. And you have to forgive me if I get a little teary-eyed, because it's something that's close to me. And it's a personal thing. It's not a personal thing because it was just my child. It's a personal thing because God has given me an understanding that he let me know. He said, I made you walk it, because if you had not walked it, you wouldn't be passionate about it.
Amen.
So my mission is for no parent to go through what I went through. Not only not go through what I went through, but I want every parent to be educated. I want every parent to understand that this bullying issue, it's a lot further. I mean, I would literally get up on the internet. I would get on the internet, and if you just Google on the internet, children or kids who have committed suicide because they were bullied, you'll be alarmed by the number of kids and the ages they were. You have 7 and 8 year olds killing themselves because they're being bullied. And that's an attack of the enemy, because that means that the devil has got into our children's mind to make them think that they are not worth living. And I'm being picked at. I'm being talked about every day. And what they don't understand is I had a hard struggle because my child was 11 at the time. She wanted me to homeschool her. Then she wanted to drop out. It knocked her self-esteem. She thought she was ugly. She thought she was something was wrong with her. She couldn't understand why she was being picked at by the children, the students, and the teachers. This is my third school, Mama. It must be me. It cannot be them. And as a parent, our main instinct is to protect and make it better. And I couldn't make this situation better. I couldn't fix it. All I could do was pray to God and talk to him. And I remember a conversation one night I had with God, and I said, Lord, why my baby? What did I do? What is it? Is it Trinicia? Is it the teachers? Is it the children? What is it? I say, what did I do? Put it on me. I can take it, not her. Yeah. And God said, I made you walk it because you wouldn't have been passionate about it.
Yeah.
It ain't about you. I used her because I had to use her for somebody that I knew was, if you experienced it, you was going to move on it. And do you know, from that day forward, I have been on fire. And I'm not going to stop until a change comes.
Amen.
And the change is going to come. Because God told me, he say, I want to save my children. Those are my children. And we are failing them as the adults because they're listening to anything. We're treating them anyway. We're treating ourselves anyway. You know, you have to understand what bullying means. Bullying is an act of a behavior, aggressive, threatening, you know, mean behavior towards anybody that if you're talking about them, if you're laughing at them, anytime that you're making them feel down, whether you're one person or a group of people joining together, if it is a threat and hurtful experience to that person, that's bullying. If I don't like your shoes, I have the right not to like your shoes, but I do not have the right to go around to everybody and talk about you or talk about you out loud and make you feel low. I do not have a right to get a group of people and target you, because that's what bullying is. You target that person, and you're repeatedly picking with that person. But we have to go back and really look at bullying. Bullying started years ago with my grandmother's generation and people before that and generations before that, and they were told. I remember coming up and looking at Jenny Jones and Ricky Lake shows and even Oprah, and they would have people who had been bullied on there. And it was like, okay, you didn't like me then, or you picked at me back then, but look at me now. It has been around for years. I have the counseling groups where a lot of the people were bullied are now in deep depression. Bullying, people always say sticks and stones will break my bones or words will never hurt me. That's not true.
That's a lie.
Words stick and they hurt.
Yes.
They hurt to a point to where I carry it. Sometimes people carry it till they leave here, they die. You know, my grandmother has always been heavy. And she told me she came here. My grandmother came here. She weighed 14 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So she came here as a big baby. So she's been heavy all her life. And she say she had cousins. Every time they would have a family reunion, him and another cousin would stand there and pick at her and laugh at her. I mean, not just when she was a child, even way after she got grown and had children.
Right.
And she told me, she say, I went to him one day. She said, and I asked him, do you think that I want to be, and she said, fat? Because I like the word heavy. I don't like the word fat. But she said, you think I like being fat? Do you think that if I could help myself and lose weight, I would? Do you think that it makes me feel good that you're picking with me? When you're picking or teasing someone, that's bullying. When you're putting something on the internet and talking about someone online and posting pictures and mean messages and putting that person out there, that is bullying. That is a behavior that has to stop. But I'm going to be honest, Ms. Carnita, I don't blame the children. You know who I blame?
Who is that?
I blame us. Because we have, and I'm guilty of it, we have housewives shows, and the first thing they do is bully one another and fight.
Yes, they do.
We are aggressive with not only each other, but even in different races, even in our own race, we bully right here in our own home.
Yeah.
You know, some parents bully their children. I believe kids that bully, their parents are bullies. Or they have someone that's around that bully. So they're taught that behavior. It's just like racism. Children don't come here that way. They come here just as innocent, but guess what? They learn it. So a lot of the times, the behavior is learned, and it's usually learned from people that they are living with and they are around, the environment that they're in. It has to get better, and it's going to get better, but we as the adults have to take some accountability and say, okay, this has to stop, because now the kids are at a point, they don't care if an adult tells them to stop. They don't care if you walk over to them or you suspend them or they get kicked out of school. They don't care. And that's another form of the attack of the enemy. I was always told, and I've learned this since I've been grown, a person that does not have fear is a deadly person. Mm-hmm. Because if you do not have any fear, that means you do not have a conscience. Mm-hmm. And that means that you'll do any and everything to anybody. And that's scary. That's a scary situation, and that's the way our children are. Plus, when you got teachers that are bullying in the school system, you know, my daughter, my little cousins and nieces and nephews, they come home and they tell things that go on in the school. Some of these teachers are bullying. Some of the teachers don't need to be in the school system. Some of the things that they say to these kids,
cool.
You're dumb, you're stupid, you got a big head. You're this, you're that. They're downing them. So guess what? You're bullying that child. So how do you think the impressionable minds that you have in your class is going to react? So we as adults have to watch what we're doing. We have to be accountable to say that this generation matters. I hear people, and it hurts me, when I hear people say, these kids are bad. They are lost generation. They lost because we lost them. But it, just like anything that's been lost, it can be found.
Amen.
They are not bad. God told me, he said, they're not bad. They're just misguided. There is no bad child. There's bad behavior, which can be corrected if they get the right person to mentor them, to pray over them, to teach them, to guide them. If a grown person can change from bad ways, why can't our children? The Bible say train them up in the way that they should go. So that means that if I'm training them up in the way that they should go, then they should be able to change whatever wicked, bad ways that people think that they have.
Amen. Yes, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, Nikki, concerning everything that you said. And I tell you, as I made mention in the beginning of the program, some of us who are listening tonight to this tender, tender topic, and it is a tender topic, and we can tell just in your conviction and in your tears and in your testimony concerning your daughter, I tell you, if we have not been teased or taunted or talked about in our own life being subjected to that as we were growing up or even as adults now, we know somebody that has, or we've trained somebody that is doing it. A lot of us children we catch more than we're taught more. More is caught than taught. So we're not sitting our children down with books and study materials saying, this is how you bully someone. You do it this and you follow this formula, and then you do your checkoff list. Have you done this? Have you done that? No. We're acting it out in front of them. So
and we are. We're acting it out.
Yes, we are carrying those out when we talk about people, when we're conversating on the phone. We could be talking about parents. We could be talking about our girlfriends or our boyfriends or the people next door or other people's kids. We could be on phone conversations, and our children are listening to those conversations.
Yeah.
More we adapt to our environment, and if the environment is a bully environment to any degree, whether it's talking about or physically fighting or talking down, as some of the kids say, why are you talking down, or condescending conversations, no matter what it is, if it's not uplifting, encouraging, or building somebody up, it is a form of bullying. Gossiping is a form of bullying.
No bullying.
And you're so right by saying, even just in the first few moments of the program, you have hit so many rich nuggets in this topic that we could talk about for to the rest of the year. To the end of this year, we can continue to talk about everything that you have made mention concerning your daughter, concerning the school system, concerning groups of people who come along and taunt, bully, ready to fight, talk about, dislike, pick, tease. We didn't hear this when I was coming up. We didn't really hear this word used much as bullying, but we heard the word teasing. Why are you teasing them? Y'all just stop teasing them. Don't do that. Stop talking about people. If you don't have something nice to say, then don't say nothing at all. It's pretty much. But now the word bullying, like you said, been around a long time. But as we address these problems concerning our children in school, so let's focus on that. Because, you know, you may mention that the parents need to get involved in the children's lives. Come to some way to build up their self-esteem. What have you done, or what have you seen or heard to this degree? Have you heard parents whose children have been victims, or they were victimizing?
Yes.
Share some of that.
It's funny because when Trenicia was being bullied and picked at, you know, I felt like I was all by myself and everybody was wondering. I even had grown people who's supposed to love me. And I'm not going to say they don't love me, but, I mean, when she left the second school and I had to plan another, you know, the third school, the first thing I had people saying, oh, don't let a baby go to school at your house. I had very close people talk about my child. You know, my 11-year-old didn't know the situation, but talked about her. It's okay to talk about me, but talked about my daughter. Didn't want to help. But God always has a ram in the bush. I had friends and people would say, well, it's got to be Trenicia. It's got to be her. She's just bad. And that, let me explain before I go on that word bad. I grew up hearing the word bad all the time, but my founding pastor from New Light Baptist Church in Sunnyside, who is Reverend Z.A. Easley, who is now going home to be with the Lord, used to always tell us, don't call a child bad, call him mischievous. And I never did understand that. And even me as a parent, during times when my daughter was small, I said, stop acting bad, sit down. And I would tell my little cousins or my cousin's children, stop acting bad, sit down. Did not understand the significance of that word, didn't understand the power that that word had. But when my daughter was being bullied and we were going to the schools and the teachers were calling her bad, that knocked her self-esteem, and that word, she started to think she was a bad person. What's wrong with me? Why can't I be good? And that word, God made me, that's when the Lord made me realize that word had a lot of power to it. And so that's why I say, when you hear me say, I don't like the form to hear him say, kids, you know, don't call kids bad, because I seen what that word did to my daughter. If you call me dumb enough, somewhere in my mind, I'm going to begin to believe it if I hear it enough. If you call me stupid enough, then in my mind, I'm going to, at some point, I'm going to begin to believe it. And so she began to believe that she was bad. But by me being a praying mother and filled of God and the Holy Ghost, I would tell the devil, you're a lie. And I would tell my daughter, you're not bad. You are a good child. You may have sometime bad behavior or unacceptable behavior, but you are not bad. And what has happened in this school is not your fault. You have been raised to know God. And you have been raised to, and I thank God for knowing the Lord, because I taught my baby from the time she could talk how to pray. And I don't mean, Lord, lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul to keep. I mean sincere prayers. I make my daughter say sincere prayers and not repetitious prayers. I make her get on her knees. I make my daughter, when I read the whole Bible, I got my daughter a Bible, and I would sit there and teach her the stories. So she knew to start praying. So she would be at school, and she knows to pray before she go in. And sometime when she was in those situations, I had to teach her, Mama not going to be with you always, baby. Mama can't be there. I need you to call on God. And so I would have her and teach her that. But I say that parents need to be involved, because we need to put a covering over our kids. You need to pray and lay hands on your child before you leave, before they leave that house. I don't care if they're going to school, if they're going in the front yard. At night, the parents need to walk the floors and pray over their children's rooms and touch their children. I don't care if they want you to touch them or not. You need to be praying. But the parents have to go to the school. There's many days that when I do get a chance to drop Trenicia off at school, because my mother takes her for me, when I leave at school, when I'm riding out of the parking lot, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. When I say my prayers every morning, I'm just praying for my child, but I'm praying for every child. And I pray at that school. Parents need to be up there, because there are good teachers. Let me say that, because I don't want to make it seem like every teacher is a bad teacher.
Amen.
There are good teachers that are good teachers, but then we also have those that are not so good teachers. And that the parents need to not always take the teacher's side. I was always taught coming up, my mother always listened to both sides. She didn't just believe the teacher, and she didn't just believe me. She would listen and decipher, okay, you were wrong. Or she would let the teacher know, okay, no, you were wrong. And so she taught me that. And as I came up and I started to have my own child, I listened to both sides. And what happens is with the teachers is that parents are in fear. You know, they have that old saying, if you go to the school, they're going to fail my child. If I go to the school or I send an email, you make them mad, they fail your child. They cannot fail your child. Your child fails your child. If you have the right as a parent to have a parents' conference at least once every 6 weeks or 9 weeks, depending on what school district they're in, you have the right to be out there on the internet looking at their grades. You have the right to send emails. You have a right to call the teacher. The teacher has 24 to 48 hours to respond back about a grade or any concern that you have, and anybody at the school actually. And that's what parents need to understand. You have the right for your child. If your child makes less than in the district my daughter is in, and I believe even in Ailey's district, if your child makes below a 70, do you know that your child has a right to retake that assignment until they make a 70 or above?
Wow.
They don't have to just go and say, oh, well, it's a zero, I don't do makeup. No, you parents need to read the policy. When those policies come home, when the kids first start school and at the beginning of the year, read it. There are questions that you can go. They have a parent connect in every school district. Parents can call and get advice. And if there is not advice for that parent or if they look like they're not helping you, you have the right to go to other means to get the right. You have the right to go to the look up the policies and look up the policies for the state. You need to learn that. You need to learn the testing rules. You need to know your children's rights. If she's a first-time offender, does she just get suspended or does she get detention? You need to know everything. You need to know that. Go see that teacher. You need to meet that teacher face-to-face. You need to go to meet the teacher night. Anytime they have an event, you need to be there. You have a right to, and the school actually has to meet with you face-to-face if that's what you're requesting. Now, you know, sometimes they've gotten where now they try to, with a parent just come up there, they try not to let you see someone immediately.
Yes.
They're actually supposed to have someone there to address your concerns at that time. And if you cannot see the principal at that time, go ahead and get on her books. But the parents need to know that you have a right to go over that principal's head without retaliation happening to your child. You have a right to go to the district. And when they holler, oh, they're going to fail my baby. No, you as a parent have a right to have every one of your child's assignments, graded assignments sent home every single week so you can keep up with your child grades. Therefore, they cannot make your child fail. You have a right to request that as a parent. You have a right as a parent to go sit in that class. Now, someone wants you to schedule ahead of time, and that's fine. A lot of times they want you to schedule because the teacher wants to make sure they're on point. But they just don't want you to come up there and pop up, which we do need to some of the things need to be addressed. We need to get in the school system so that we can change some of this stuff. And I'm going to just be honest, a lot of minority parents do not get involved in the school system, but they need to because I'm working, I'm busy, I can't, but we make time for what we want to make time for. See, we make time to go to the clubs, go to the football games, go to concerts, whatever we really want to do, we make time for it. And we have to learn to make time to go up to the school. We need to be in PTA meetings. We need to be at the school, and when they're voting, understand whatever they're voting on for the school district, how it affects our children, how it will affect your child and your district. We have to get involved because the school has a perception that a lot of parents just don't care. And I hate to say it, but it's a lot of minority parents that they feel that way about. Because a lot of times you never see any of the minority parents, you know, unless their child is in a lot of trouble. Well, you need to be there before your child gets into a lot of trouble. You need to be there to let the teacher know that you are a caring parent, you are concerned about your child's grades, and you know your rights. Don't be afraid to buck the system because that old fear of, oh, they'll fail my child, is keeping a lot of parents back. It keeps them back and it keeps them afraid. So your child get done wrong. Your child gets, you know, they fail your child. You have a right to ask about the testing, go up to the teacher and ask her about her agenda and her lesson plan. You know, what is this, this, and this concerning my child? I want to know if my child failed this, can they make it up? Your child has a right to tutorials. Your child has a right to make up assignments. You know, you have a right.
So let me stop you right here. So what you're saying is concerning these issues, this particular issue, when children are being bullied in the school system, and it just does not seem that they are taking the initiative to bring about a positive solution for the person or the child that has been bullied, then these are some parents' rights that can be looked into concerning changes and making some connections in the schools and not just take a back seat to with what they're saying is so. We can make a difference as a parent, correct?
We can make a big difference. And if we, as more parents would get involved, I believe, because it's not just a teacher's job. Teachers have a hard job. The principal has a hard job. My child's school has 1,200 children. There's 400 in, I believe, in 6th grade, 7th and 8th grade, 400 apiece. That's 1,200 kids. Okay, they can't, it, you know, each teacher probably has maybe 20 to 25 children in their class. The parent plays a big role as well as the teacher. It takes the parent, the child, and the school to work together. Now, if the school system don't want to work with you, you do have other rights. You do have alternatives because, you know, one of Trenicia's little friends, I'm friends with her grandmother, and she got into a little, I don't know if it was a fight or something at the school, but she shouldn't have been sent to the alternative school for it. And instead of the school, the principal told the grandmother, well, she has to go. No, that's what I mean about learning the policy. The grandmother didn't know that she could have, first of all, withdrew her. Because when you withdraw your child from one district, they can't make your child go to an alternative school in the other district. That's one thing. But she told her, well, I've already submitted the paperwork, and she's already been accepted, and so she has to go. And if you withdraw her, she's going to have to go in the other district too. No, that was a complete lie. I hate that word, but it was a complete lie. That grandmother had the right. First of all, they have so many days. They have to submit that paperwork, and I'm going to be very honest with you. It takes time for them children to get placed in because they have to have a place to place them. So they have to be, you know, they that's why they put them in ISS for 15 days before they can go to alternative school. They put them in school suspension before they can go to alternative school because it takes time for them to be placed there. The parents and the guardians need to learn the right that my child don't have to go to the alternative school. And guess what? The other school cannot call over to that school and say, that other district, well, you got to put them in an alternative school. They have a totally clean slate. Now, the district that they're going to can request their records as far as if their discipline records. But usually what transfers with that child is just your grades. And you have the right to do that. You have the right to homeschool your child. You have the right to withdraw that child and say, no, I'm a homeschool my child. You don't have to exactly tell them where that child is going, but the principal was not very forthcoming. In other words, she lied to the grandmother. And the child had to go and have that put on her record. That should have not happened. And at the time, I did not know that. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and a lot of times when we're unaware of the policies and procedures of the school, because you made a valid point about reading all of that paperwork that they have you to fill in or fill out at the beginning of the school year, and they give you the booklet that shows all of their policies and what is not. And then I know I have, and I'm guilty of that, when my sons were in school, I would sign the back of the last page, tear it out, send it in, that shows that I did read it, when I really did not read it in detail because I'm thinking, oh, we do this every year. They should already have this stuff in there.
Why they should already have it, yes.
If you're ignorant to the fact that you do have rights and then you don't know that you do have rights and then all of these situations that do pop up concerning your child, then you're kind of at their will because you didn't read or you didn't know or take the time to find out.
And when you don't know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so that does pose a problem because we're just going along with their program not realizing that we do
and
have
until
a program
you believing because
follow.
They're the school, you think that this is the policy. And some of the things that they're doing are not in policy. What I have found out, even with my friends, I have friends and family members in public school, in private school, in charter schools. It's bullying everywhere. I have friends whose daughters, and actually I have two little cousins that go to one of the charter schools. Bullying incident over there. They were picking with my cousin's son. A friend of mine, her daughter goes to another charter school, a good charter school. Her little girl got stabbed with a pencil, you know. And she went to the principal and to the teacher, and the teacher claimed that, oh, she wasn't paying attention, you know, and they claimed they talked to that child or that child's parents, but it continued. So I've had friends, I've had close friends. I even have friends whose children are in college. Not that just their first year of college. They're like two, you know, their second, third year of college was being bullied. One of my friends, her son was at a campus party, and he has his back turned. And someone shoved him into a glass patio door. And when I say they shoved him into it, he went through the patio door. Nobody said anything. Nobody saw anything. Now, this is a house full of kids, college kids. You don't see anybody run up and shove him into a glass patio door where it breaks and he goes through it. Are you serious? Nobody's saying anything. You know, I've had a friend not too long ago.
And not to cut you off, but and what came to my mind is that no one wants to be classified as the snitch. What they've seen or what they may have heard, they don't want to be classified as a snitch because they may be subject to bullying. Oh, well, you snitched on me, then we're going to retaliate against you. And it just becomes
a domino effect.
So you have a lot of children in school who hear and may know, but they don't want to tell because they're in fear themselves. Right. And, I tell you, this is a topic that can go from here to the end of the year, and we are going to continue this program on future programs. And for the next four Thursdays, we just have to bring this to light, and we have to be in prayer. So I don't want to run out of time, Nikki, but I tell you, with what you've brought to the surface, I hope that those who are listening live on the internet and live on the line, I hope that this has settled a seed in your heart that it would prompt you or move you in your spirit to pray for our children. We have been doing this, and Nikki, share about your prayer vigil and what you've done prior to this program that those who are listening can know just how on fire you have been concerning this. You have been doing some programs earlier before this.
Yes, we started. I am the founder of the National Day of Prayer for Children. Our first day, we do it every 90 days, and it's always on the 7th of the month because that's God's perfect number, number 7. We've had the National Prayer Day now for a little bit over a year. May 7th of 2013 was the first National Prayer Day. And we do it every 90 days. I'm glad to say we're over a year. This past September the 7th, we actually had a prayer vigil at my church. We prayed for all the kids where they went back to school to cover their schooling. We talked about the bullying issue. We had people there with organizations that are dealing with bullying and human sex trafficking, anything that's dealing with children to try to help our kids. That was done on September the 6th, I do apologize, of this year. And the media was there. We had a big write-up in the paper. And I've done more than this is my second radio show. I did a radio show last year in North Carolina talking about the issue with the power of prayer for our children. We got to keep praying. And we're going to, the National Prayer Day, the next National Prayer Day will be December the 7th. And all you have to do is, you don't have to come out to an event. You do not have to attend anything. All we ask is that people spread the word, get up on that day, and pray for our children. Say a simple prayer. And we're just asking, because we have to lift up. Prayer is the key. That is the only thing that's going to change them. We're eventually, probably next year, we're going to do a march where we're going to get together and we're going to march. We're going to march and show our children that they matter and just how important they are to God. So that's one of the things that we're working on, and just getting the word out there and being more into the school system. But I also want to say this, Sister Carnita Smith, before you let me go, is that if any parent is listening and you're going through any situation, you can always give me a call. If I do not know the answer, I will find someone that does. My number is 832-720-0838. Make sure that parents understand to tell their children, don't sign anything without their parent consent. The school is not supposed to make a child sign in. They actually are not supposed to talk to your child about any incident without notifying you first. Parents need to know that, because by the time we get the information, they've already signed, our children have already signed something, and they have already the school has already done what they're going to do. So they need to train their children to say, you know, talk to my mom, you know, in a nice, a very respectful way. No, I'm sorry, I can't sign it. My mom doesn't allow me to sign anything without her permission. You know, I did want to get that part in, and just continue to lift up our kids and pray for them daily. Even if, you know, I know people, they get together, they go to the schools on the weekends and the parking lots, they're praying at our children's school, and need to be praying in the community.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I listen to the radio, a Christian radio station here in Houston called KSBJ, and they did, when school started, I believe it may have been last week or so, they had children standing at the flagpole praying.
Yes.
And they would come together as a national day of prayer for the schools or at school, and these Christian children went, and some were there solo by themselves, but they took a stand, and they were not ashamed of who they were and who they are in Christ. And I just thought that was so honoring to God, to stand there, whether there were 200 or one soul standing praying and interceding for our children, and it does make a difference. So, Nikki, if you could give your phone number again, if you didn't mind, for those, just to make sure that they did not miss it, and then we'll just, I would like for you to just say a prayer for our children for this
sure.
school year, and pray for the parents, if you would, too, as we have a few moments left on the program, and then I will give a link on how we can, you can revisit this program tonight. So go right ahead.
Okay, my name is Sister Nikki Mason. You can contact me at 832-720-0838. You can also contact me at Nikitria, Nikitria Mason at yahoo.com. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. Gracious Master, which are in heaven, we come to thee as humble as we know how. We come, Father God, because you're worthy. We come, God, because you're able. We come to you, Master, because all power is in your hands, thanking you for another day's journey. And, Lord, we come asking forgiveness of our sins, repenting of everything we've said, anything we've done, anything we did, God, knowingly and unknowingly. Lord, we come because your name is most high, and your name is marvelous. Your name is wonderful, God. We come tonight lifting up our children, Father God. We come tonight, Father, lifting up their minds, their hearts, their souls, and their spirits, Father God. We come tonight, Heavenly Father, just lifting them up in the name of Jesus. Because, Father God, you say, train a child up in the way that they should go, Father God. God. According to Proverbs 22, Lord, I know that you're able, Father God, to touch down upon them tonight and bless them. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you crown each one of their heads with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give them peace in their mind, in their spirit, in their heart, and their souls, God. Give them peace in the schools, Father. Give them peace in their homes and neighborhoods, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you take over their impressionable minds, Father God. Give them a Christ-like mind, Father God. And I rebuke the spirit of bullying. I rebuke the spirit of suicide. I rebuke any unclean spirit that don't belong in your children, God, right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you put seven guard protection angels to the right, seven guard protection angels to the left, seven guard protection angels to the back, and seven guard protection angels to the front of every child tonight. I pray, God, that you put seven guard protection angels in every area of the school, to the right, to the left, to the front of the school. Oh, Father, at the bus stop, Father, as they walk to school, Father God, on the buses, Heaven, that you be with our children, Lord. Oh, Father, bless them, Lord. Strengthen them and have mercy upon them. Keep them safe, Father God, and that you touch every parent to be the parent, Father God, that you have called them to be according to your name, Father God. Give the parent confidence. Give the parent knowledge. Give the parent wisdom to know how to raise their child, Father God, what to say, when to say, and how to say it, Father, even to how to discipline their children, God. Touch every teacher in the school system, Father, every principal, Lord, every administrator, every staff member, God. Bless them tonight, Father God. Bless all around the world, Father. Go all around the four corners tonight and touch down upon them in the name of Jesus, because we need you to help us with them, Father. We can't make it without you, God. We need you to show us how to do for them, God. We need you to show them how to be good young men and women, Father God. We need you to show them how to grow up to be what you have called them to be according to your word, Father God. We need you to help us in our lives tonight, Father, as parents in the name of Jesus, God. I call upon you, Father, because you said all I have to do is ask, Heavenly Father. And I'm asking tonight, Jesus, that you bless them, God, that you bless them right now, Father God. Keep them in the bosom of your hand, Father, and have mercy upon them in Jesus' name. I ask this, Father, in all blessings in the mighty, awesome, wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I tell you, this has been such a blessing tonight to hear from you, Nikki, concerning this issue. I can tell the passion that runs in your heart concerning this this problem in society today, in our schools, in our communities, even in our homes, and even on the job. And I just thank you for listening, those who are listening tonight. I thank you for sticking with us and just being a part of this program. I tell you, this is a hot topic, and please share this with someone. Bring it to light. Keep it in your prayer life, that we continue to pray as a mighty army. If you want to revisit this program or share it with someone, please just give them the link, blogtalkradio.com/heart2heartmfth, and that's heart, the number two, heart, M-F-T-H. And just put that in your browser, and I tell you, you can just click on any one of these programs, but this one in particular, Who's Bullying Who? And this is not the final program concerning this topic. So share this with those that are listening or others in your family, and just tell them to click on the link, and they will be blessed. We will revisit this program again next Thursday on the 9th. And we will continue in specific areas. Tonight we're our children and the school, but we will continue to know how and who and what in our community, in our Congress, with our mayor, and just continue to keep this topic afloat so that prayer will go up and blessings will come down. The enemy is defeated, and bullying will go away. In Jesus' name, I thank you for being a part of this program, this mission from the heart. Good night. Always remember that the word will remain forever. Know that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth, but know that the word of God will stand forever. Thank you so much, Nikki, for being a part of my program. We will be together again with other guests concerning this topic on next Thursday, and we'll just continue to press forward, press in, and not give up. Amen?
Amen.
Well, good night, and I thank you, and this ends our program, Mission from the Heart Radio.
Thank you.